Listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
August 11th, 2014. This is Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, on Wolf Spirit Radio at wolfspiritradio.com, and Ever Beyond Radio, everbeyondradio.com, as if that wasn't enough. This is Monday, and I was just listening to the Revolution Radio Studio A, and they got the commercial for my show, the promo for my show, which is on Tuesday, which isn't on Tuesday, it's on now. So if anyone's listening, can you make that? I've sent it several times. Anyway, enough about station business. If you could open your hearts and open your minds, apparently I have to make a promo. The problem is that I don't like to, you know, I can never think about, you know, promoting myself. So, to that end, one of the purposes of this evening's show is in order to get a few good quotes out of me so that we can do something promotional. But hopefully we'll still make the rest of it entertaining enough for you to stay tuned in to Revolution Radio Studio B, a listener supported 100% homegrown and pure beef. 100% homegrown and listener supported station. And please go along to donate, buy some seeds if you like to buy seeds, buy some archives if you want to buy archives. You can buy an archive of my entire year's shows, which have been on Monday nights since a long time ago. Anyway, so without any further ado, I'd like to introduce my guest, who is my friend and co-host, and we have been working together for more than a year now, and we've made some interesting discoveries together. She's been on the show before, my guest, Nancy Hopkins. Hello, Nancy, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Jay, and, you know, let's get on with it. We're going to find out who you are.
Yeah, as if, yeah, you could find out who I am in like 5 minutes. Yeah, yeah, all right. Well, let's get to the heart of that of them.
Okay. I know that you started with Dave. How many years ago?
Dave and I, we all met in a chat room in Rebecca Jernigan's Journeys with Rebecca radio station. She was affiliated at the time with a great blues station, so she had this great music before and after her shows, and a really warm chat room, and there are all these interesting people, and there was this quiet guy called Dave, and then there was also Tracy Kennedy and various other people who are still around, and what's interesting is that there came a point when radio stations had to change, you know, they're going out of business and all this other stuff. So one of the things we were using at the time was Blog Talk Radio, and it's brilliant. It's like Facebook. It's really easy to use. And so we started off with a Blog Talk Radio show, and there was a guy called Jeremiah, who's this interesting character, Jeremiah Duncan, and he went around connecting everybody. He just kind of like a big needle and a big long thread, and he pulled everybody together and then disappeared off the face of the world. So he formed Project Information Generation, PIG, Dave had once Jeremiah left, it was like, well, I would say basically Jeremiah brought in Dave and brought in me sometimes as an interviewer to interview various people, and I was interviewing Laura Eisenhower for the first time on that little station, and a couple of other people, but so we've become, you know, at that time we were all friends. It was all like there wasn't any difference between guest and host, and still, in a way, I don't think there is anymore. But what we're doing, where we started, was that we saw the problem of the big machine. We saw the advent of Microsoft wanting to take over the entire internet, and so we wanted to do something different, and so we got together with it was interesting, two men, three women, Tracy Kennedy, who's on Turtle Island News, Rebecca Jernigan, Journeys with Rebecca, and Muggsy, I think she's predictmyfuture.com, amongst other things, and we dreamed up having a station that was going to be kind of like hack-proof. It couldn't be taken down, basically, easily. We put up a good fight because we'd comprise several stations and several servers, much like the way the internet is organized. So we started that, and now there was another thing that was going on, which was the ray readings. And I used to do ray readings. I still do. If anybody would like to have a ray reading, I would be very happy to give one. Essentially, I found that some of the people in the chat room that we were working with, and all these people, we had certain rays in common. And it turns out, like, there's a whole load of us that had the same soul group, basically. We were in the same soul group, and it was like a scientific discovery of, you know, I can tell you if you're in the particular soul group. Anyway, so... We kind of came up with the idea that we wanted to get away from Microsoft, so we started using Ubuntu, we would toss the station between us, so that I would do my thing, then I'd hand it over to Tracy would do a thing, then I'd hand it over to Dave, blah, 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 blah. You know, things happen, and Dave ended up doing most of the other half of the work. It was more than a half, it was like six out of one, you know. Because I just kept doing my day because, like, I'm stubborn. I don't want to. I've got a life. I've got other things to do, or I used to. Anyway, so eventually it ended up with Dave and myself, and then we started getting some hosts, and we did some marathons. We teamed up with some various places, there was various controversial figures that came to the station, and we gradually made connections with Revolution Radio, and that's how we got here, kind of thing. I don't know, I kind of got in through this weird sort of bizarre back door, because basically I was sometimes co-hosting, I was producing Rebecca's show, there were times I would be on, you know, we would, you know, she would have me on all, you know, several, I would be a co-host, and we would talk a lot. There was a time when she had to go away and be what she is, there were five shows, she had to do five shows a week, and that was just like far too much. So what we did was that she said, okay, you do Tuesdays, and then I'll do the rest of the days, and again, it's really hard to do a daily show, you know. I really got to hand it to Sean David Morton and Robin. I mean, Robin Falkov is doing an amazing job. She's doing an enormous show every day. She must have wheels or something. But
not only every day, every morning she has the show, but then she has an afternoon show once a week too. I don't know how she does it.
Yeah, so I mean, there's just like people who do this, and I haven't got that kind of energy to do that kind of thing. But that's why I always felt, you know, it's a team thing. So what I'm talking about sometimes in these meetings is things that we've already done, and it's just now it's time. I mean, basically, we were trying to do it too early, or we were kind of building the ship so that when the crew arrives, there's a station for everybody. That everybody's got their operating post, and that we've kind of been making space and holding space for what is to come on Wolf Spirit Radio.
Okay, what's your vision of what's now? Maybe there's some people out there that don't realize that Dave passed 2 weeks ago, and that he gave the helm of the ship to you, and that all of the hosts and producers that were with Dave are you're now your wolf pack, and you're going to have to, you know, guide us into this new future. What is it that you're seeing Wolf Spirit evolving into?
Well, as I said, it was something that we've already been talking about and thinking about and doing to a certain extent. It's just that I suppose it's like Dave has left such an enormous vacuum by leaving us that it's kind of, it's woken everybody up, actually, and people have stepped up and said, okay, yeah. And what's beautiful, I mean, we had a meeting just a little while ago, and there are people who are in the meeting are saying, well, why doesn't the show do this? And I say, well, can you do that? Yeah, I can do that. Well, there you go. That's where your job is. And it's essentially people are inspired themselves to do the work that is necessary to make the whole thing work. And it's about the willingness of everybody to, and it's not about anybody serving me, because I certainly don't want that, not at all, in any way, shape or form. If anybody wants anybody to kind of have in mind, you know, do it for Dave. That's fine, you know, rather than doing it for me, or indeed do it for yourself, because you're by serving the group, you serve yourself, and it aggrandizes everybody. A feeling that we're going to be jumping in a quantum leap soon. And I think one of the reasons is, number one is we're going to have a big, you know, we've got more marketing people on board, so there's going to be more publicity, people are going to know about it more, people are going to know about the shows, because basically it's like having an enormous department store down an alleyway that nobody ever sees. They just walk past because they think that's why bother looking down there. So,
well, that's partially Dave's philosophy, though. I remember hearing him and having people tell me that the reason that they went with Wolf Spirit and Dave was because he said, I don't care how many people are listening. If one person is listening and I can touch that one person with the truth, then that's all that needs to be done. You know, it was this philosophy of you don't have to go big, you don't have to, you know, move out of your comfort zone. But from what I'm seeing and what we've walked into as a group is that it's a different world. We have to start taking more action. We have to go out there and find solutions to give people the information that they need to make a better world. Because what we're continually hearing out there is all the noise about how awful things are. Well, things are awful, but if you look at it from a different perspective, there is a tremendous amount of people out there who are doing amazing things that nobody is paying any attention to, including Wolf Spirit. But what I noticed when we started up the ODD group, which we have a radio show on Wolf Spirit, you know this, I'm talking to our audience, that we go on every other Sunday there's a different one of us that's on the radio show. But when we first started doing the Odd Group, our intention was to try to find out people's groups out there that were doing really solution-oriented things and then bring them under one umbrella so that everybody knew who was doing what. And what was became obvious instantaneously was that there are so many, I mean hundreds of thousands of little groups out there that are doing such positive things to make the changes. And I see that our group is much more oriented to finding the changes. I mean, I've listened to some of your shows about so many different subjects that were really like, okay, there's a way of getting out of this. There's a way of doing this. And it ranges from, you know, financial solutions to the solutions with Clayton Nolte with the restructuring of the water, and shows like with me with Shungite. You know, we're all looking for a solution-based thing. So that's from just being, you know, in this for a very short period of time comparatively. That's what I see Wolf Spirits bringing to the table versus what's there now. Am I wrong, or is this what you're seeing, Jay?
No, this is exactly, you're totally right. The in a way, it's a bit like somebody can sing a tune, and in order to make it louder, you can either use an amplifier, you can have several other people singing the same tune, or even coming along and singing in harmony, not necessarily doing their own thing, and eventually you've got a choir. And a choir is loud, and it makes itself noticed. So, so really, rather than speaking through a big PA system, we keep the voices low, but we multitude the voices. I thought the beautiful thing of Occupy movement was the human megaphone. Did you see that thing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Wasn't that a brilliant idea?
Expand in case some people don't understand it.
So basically powers that be who were trying to stop the Wall Street people kept on coming up with stupid rules to stop them doing what they were doing, and so at one point they banned megaphones. So what they did is, you know, by using this principle I just mentioned, you would get one person who would say something in a regular voice to about 10-15 people, and these people would repeat it in unison, and it was like almost like a call and response in the church, but basically it was somebody who was being supported by a group of people getting their voice out. And that, I think, is the model that we're talking about, that what we've got is not one huge station, but a multitude of small stations, each with their own universe. This is like, I believe that everybody's got their own universe. You've got your universe, you know. Your universe is populated by the topics that you are interested in. You know, you've got the cosmic reality universe. I have my beyond universe. You know, Dave has his wolf universe. So we bring all the universes together to create the multiverse and the multidimensional thing that the Crystal Skulls were talking about. Because now I tell you, people, we're going to have something really, really cool. We're going to have a Crystal Skull show where, really, we have carriers of Crystal Skulls who will speak, and the Crystal Skulls will answer your questions. Get that. They will answer your questions. So do tune in to Wolf Spirit Radio. We're really going to bring the spirit in. And last week I had Dave coming in spirit, and he was unmistakable. Absolutely unmistakably Dave, in spirit, through a medium, having passed away from his body like a week before. That's spirit. That's wolf spirit.
Well, Dave is only operating in speeds faster than light, so all we have to do is open up to those messages. That's the key. I mean, our mission as humanity is to understand how to manipulate energies. And manipulation of energies connotes to magic. That's what magic is. Magic is manipulation of energies. And our goal is to understand how to manipulate energies. And one of the most potent kind of energies we have is our own human voice. You know, so the fact that we're voices on the over the internet is a very powerful thing, even if nobody's listening. The fact that we're doing it, you know, and the concept of the crystal skull is, I did not hear that show, and I can't get the archives to hear it, but I got to tell you, I actually met Max, who was, you know, is one of the more well-known crystal skulls.
Yes, tell us about Max.
Yeah,
because Max was mentioned a few years ago by Colleen Thomas, but I haven't heard anything about him since then. So, yeah, tell us about Max, Nancy.
Well, Max has a history, and I, you know, I've watched so many of those shows. I'm not exactly sure what the truth is. There's a lot of controversy over Max about whether or not it's real or not real. But I'm telling you, I was in front of Max, and Max is real. This woman was going around, and she came down to South Florida, and I had no idea what this crystal skull thing was, but some people dragged me over to this private home in the private meeting, and, you know, I walk in the house. It was had pretty big rooms, and we walk into this one area that's all set up, you know, metaphysically with the candles and the incense and everything, and here is this crystal skull that is, I mean, like, it's the size of a skull. It's I know quartz. I play with quartz and a lot of minerals. And this thing was just absolutely the most gorgeous piece of quartz you can even imagine. And I can't even imagine how they created it. But when you look at it, you know that this is not something that could be created by somebody rubbing on it. You know, rubbing on it, which is what they were saying at the time. You know, that it has to be something that came from, you know, some other place. And during the session, I'm assuming probably other people did, but I started getting these, like, downloads of views, like visions, I guess you would call them. But it was almost like memories. And I could remember seeing this group of people, and they'd be lined up. It was a mountain. It was like this mountain. And they're lined up to go into this mountain, and they would walk into this cave-like section. But then when you walked inside, it was a huge cavern. And Max was there. And the people would walk by like they were seeing some sacred object, and then they would communicate with Max, you know, ask for this or that or the other thing, but mostly it was just to be in the presence of this crystal skull. And my imaging said to me that this was Atlantis, that it was, that the mountain that we were inside is, I believe that it's probably Bimini now. That the Bimini is an island, but I think it's the top of this particular mountain. That was what I got at the time. And that Max was given to the Atlanteans as a gift from some either interdimensional or spatial, whatever. Somebody gave this to them. It was something that just kind of showed up. And what I took away from it was that the Atlanteans were looking at this thing as a magical symbol of higher entities, but in fact it was a device like a computer, and that it was designed by whoever put it here to try to help stabilize the planet. That they already understood that the Atlanteans were into science that they shouldn't have been into, and that it was an attempt to actually stabilize this part of the universe. I got all that sitting in front of this crystal skull. Now, whether it was some kind of an imaginary thing, I doubt it, because I, A, didn't know about Bimini at the time, B, had never encountered these crystal skull things, C, did not understand enough about Atlantis to understand what the imaging I was getting, what were they doing, what could possibly be that dangerous, you know, that, you know, the gods that be or the, you know, the people that watch over us, what somebody put a device there to stabilize things. Now, whether or not Max is real or not real, that's an interesting concept of energy, because reality is what we think it is. So if you think that this is a real thing, you really think it, it becomes a real thing in that particular dimension and time and place. So to me, yes, Max is very real. I don't know, do you want to ask me some questions? Or I mean,
One of the things is that you're describing these scenes, and I'm seeing the mountain, I'm seeing the cabin, I'm seeing Max on a stand, you know.
Yes, I think it's some kind of ingrained memory that we probably all have in the super consciousness of some sort.
Well, here's the thing. What if Max was organizing us? What if Max was creating Wolf Spirit Radio and the internet and things like that?
Well, I wouldn't think of it as being Max. I would think of Max as being, again, a device that's being used by some higher entity. And in putting this in the way that you put it, I would say it's Gaia, God herself, the creator God of this biosphere, that could use Max to do just that. I mean, anybody that is paying attention over in Wolf Spirit realizes that we're all there for some reason. I've been going to these meetings, and I have never seen a group of people, diverse people, who come together with, you know, a half a dozen people who can say, okay, we got to do this, so let's do this, and get into the details and have somebody say, I can do this. It's like I've never seen so much productivity in group meetings as I have being, you know, with the WSR people. It's astounding. So, yeah, somebody brought us together. Dave certainly had a part of it, but, you know, now it's ours. He gave us a great gift, and we have to take it beyond what even he could imagine, because that's just the way that life is. But there, in Cosmic Reality, the book, I explain how I feel like my entire existence has been gently manipulated to provide me with certain experiences and certain knowledge so that I can do the job that's now set in front of us, which is very much Wolf Spirit and also the Shungite.
Yes, yeah, so there are forces of evolution that have a particular requirement, and that requirement draws to it a structure of relationship that creates the thing that, you know, it's the will, the love. The love stage is the bringing together. And then we get busy. Yeah, it's the 1, 2, 3. Basically, you know, if I can't organize a group, then I don't know who can, because this is what the rays are about. The rays are about how you organize groups, how you get relationship, and how you create the organ that is organization. That each person is like a liver, a heart, a lung. They have a function, and they're good at what they do, and they're perfect at what they do. And it's just recognizing to have all the parts there, and that, like, you don't have end up with two livers.
Do you remember way back when we first started talking?
Ooh, my mind just spun.
We were talking about Findhorn. Is it Findhorn?
Yes.
And you were telling, and I asked you if they were still doing the gardens and what they're known for, and you said no, that it was more of group activity. And then you went into explaining how they have these groups that come together. And they'd have one person who would speak for the group, almost like a channeling of the group mind. And I asked you, what came first? The people coming together to create the group, or was the group mind already there? And neither of us, of course, could answer that. But I just thought of this, you know, we're back to the conversation we had so many years.
Oh, that's interesting. I would say the answer to that question is they call it the spirit of Findhorn, right? Or the Findhorn spirit. Or I would say the spirit of the land. You know, the people of Turtle Island have they call themselves nations just to make it easy for us to understand what they're at. But what they are the expressions of the soul of the land. The land expresses itself into the beings that populate on it. And it expresses as different energies in order to produce organization. You know, like I said, there's no point in having 10 livers. You know, the one. And maybe a backup who's growing, you know. But so each member of the organization carries their own energy, and their energy is just perfectly suited to the task at hand. What they have in Findhorn is they use a thing they call attunement, because they don't have any ray readers. they kind of, in a way, it's like they kind of got the idea, but it's not. I've got it down to a science, and I'm not boastful about this, because this is just, you know, anyone can do this. But it's a science. It's just like arithmetic. It's a process. It's a prescribed route between A and B. You know, it's very predictable. Except because it comes from the inside out, people don't understand how it can work. But just like the philosophy is that everybody's got their own purpose, and everybody's looking for a piece of for the completion of their puzzles, and everybody has a piece of everybody else's puzzle. Whoever you interact with will be able to give you another piece of your puzzle, and so that's why it's wise to never dismiss people or throw people out of hand, eject people straight out of hand. Yes, sometimes those lessons are not as easy as you might think, but yes, listening to everybody is important, and not marginalizing. And I think that's one of it's like a wolf pack thing, is that we try and care for everybody and make everybody else make sure that everybody else is cared for.
Yes. Yeah, it's the group. I mean, because it's difficult for people to think in terms of groups for a lot of people of our ilk, let's say, because we're not arrogant. We're just very aware that we have information that other people do not have. And, you know, when you did the reading for me, and I do recommend anybody out there, get Jay to do a ray reading. It'll make a lot of things come crystal clear to you. And he will also assist you in fine-tuning any, let's say, problematic tendencies you might have because of a specific ray energy that you might be dealing with. But when we talk about groups as individuals who are, you know, find ourselves to be special because we are special. We were sent down paths that gave us information that made us aware of the matrix that was controlling our reality, and we chose to fight it and to find ways of explaining it and to understanding it. And then now we're at a point where we can go to, let's find solutions for it. So, but what you do when you start to work with groups is you almost like don't want to give up your own independent individual entity. And that's what's different now, is that before, if you joined a group, that was inevitable that somebody was going to stand up and say, I want to be the boss. But over at WSR, we're not, nobody's saying, I want to be the boss. Everybody's saying, what can I do to help this? But it's done without any kind of an ego involved, and I find that to be fascinating. And I suspect that it is not just isolated with the people at Wolf Spirit. I think that probably this is a tendency of energy, that we come together as independent individuals adding to a group movement that is moving by itself or guided by powers other than one human being or a group of human beings. So I think that we're probably on the cusp of a new wave of coming together of organization, if you will. I mean, because right off the bat, you presented the concept of token. And that is so fundamentally an equality builder, you know, that everybody puts in their time and their energy, and then at the end of a given period of time, you figure out how much profit you got. you've made all these little tokens up during this time, and you know, you divide the tokens into the profit, and that's how much the tokens are worth. Now, sometimes it might be 50 cents. Sometimes it might be $500. Nobody knows. But you throw your energy into it. Everybody's getting paid exactly the same thing for the time that they're putting into it, for the energy that they're putting into it. Nobody's better than anybody else. But coming together as a team like that, you do. You have this group soul thing that starts to permeate and to then guide, because we're all focusing on where we want to go. Yeah, it's mystical and it's magical, but it's just manipulation of energies.
And it's really interesting. So, because what I was saying before about that each nation, you know, because when the Western man came out and said, you know, you worship God, and they said, yes, we worship the Creator, but the spirit of the land under their feet had its own name. Had its own character, its own spirit. And I think that we're talking, it's like a country is made up of regional, they're now divided into regions, but the country is made of like places that are separated by rivers and mountains and things like that. So they naturally form into little you know, places where people gather near the waters and things like that. So there are small kind of nexuses and nodes, very much like the neurons, that where it draws energy from its surroundings and puts out energy to its local area. And I think that the ley line system and the portals and all of that are very much like that. And the people that live in a particular area are the expression of that spirit. So what's very interesting is that we've now got this connection between all of these different neurons over the internet. That's what's different.
That's exactly what's different. That's the whole game there, is that let me tell you a little Shungite story. One of the kids, a 7-year-old, brought some Shungite pendants into three of her friends. And they were doing testing, and so they were on the computers that day. And what she said was that she believed that because the four of them had the pendants on, they were actually affecting the computer system, and everybody else was getting the Shungite buzz. Now, that's a 7-year-old talking. And that's basically what starts to happen when you get, like, on Facebook, like we were talking earlier about Facebook, is that certain people come together in a group and it has a certain energy. You can open up a different group page in Facebook and you'll find a different feeling for each of those pages, even if some of the people are the same in them, because each group has its own dynamics, its own reason for being. And, yes, I absolutely agree with you that depending on where you are on the earth, you are that's your bioelectromagnetic field. That's where you were born. That's why astrology works, because it's so specific as to location and time being basically a digital location. And so yes, even when you're making an Oregon generator, the first thing of importance is who's making it, but the second thing is where is it being made, the third thing is when is it being made? Is it being made on the solstice? Is it being made on a full moon? Is it, you know? And then it's the materials that go into it. So, you know, the people, the person, and the location are always paramount energetically in a given situation. So, yeah, it's, well, I love the way Luce always talks about, you know, which side of the mountain did you grow up on? Because it's not only your perception of what you can see based on the side of the mountain you happen to be on, but it's also what were the energies on that side of the mountain. And it can be so much different than the other side. We're in a very interesting time because people are starting to understand it's an energy universe. And once they understand that, once they start operating as energy beings and manipulators, I'll tell you, it's going to be a wild ride. And I think that the people at Wolf Spirit, for whatever reason, have been brought together to help make that ride a lot easier. Because we'll all be, no, it's okay. We can do this, you know. And it will be the kind of people that are there for the ones that are just finding out, that are just waking up, and the first thing they encounter is fear. And, you know, no, come on over to us. We understand the fear. We've been here a long time. We're over fear. We're doing things. And I keep going back to that same kind of topic because I truly believe that that's the gift that Dave gave us, you know. If you're just talking to one person, that's all that matters.
That's true. Eyes open, no fear. Yep. I love that. It's and in a way that's a bit like it's the the clarion call these days is, you know, just have no fear because it's all falling apart, and it's actually through you not having fear that it falls apart.
Absolutely. Yep. That's the key to it, because there's nothing. They've made us very much afraid of it falling apart, but the reality is if it falls apart, then all of these opposite alternatives are then they can go, then they can work. I remember this guy, he was the head of the School of Education at the University of Massachusetts, and we had spent a lot of money to get this guy in that position. And one day I'm talking to him, and he had come in and he had made so many changes to a school system that was very, very well known. And I said, why did you tear it apart like this? And he said, it's much easier to tear it apart and then rebuild it than to try to change it from within. And, you know, that's basically what we have to start to realize, is that the reality that they presented us with is just their reality. It doesn't have to be our reality. And as soon as we can realize that and tear it down, then we can build a reality based on peace and, you know, beauty.
Yeah, because, as you say, reality is... tell us, once again, would you state your... We mean, maybe we should make a record or something, put it on a jingle or something. Nancy's... perhaps we should put it on your introduction jingle to the Nancy Hopkins show. Do you want to state the first three rules of cosmic reality?
Okay, the first rule of cosmic reality is what you think it is. The second rule is majority rules. The third rule is that anybody in power keeps everybody else from knowing rules 1 and 2. And that's what we're fighting. We're trying to fight that third rule. We want everybody to know, look, it, reality is what you think it is, and majority rules. And when we say majority, it doesn't necessarily mean by numbers. It can be by power, by focus. And you get small groups that come together and say, you know, we're going to do this. They are extremely powerful. And they, you know, I mean, reality changing is done by 10%. In the communist world, only 10% of the people were communist. And it was when they realized that only 10% of the population was communist that within a 3-month time, the entire communist world crumbled. And that's because there was more than 10% that said, well, that's screwy. And it was a fax machine, actually. The fax machine started to, again, it goes back to the internet. They always had anything that was able to put out information, like a printer or any kind of a publishing device of any sort, was controlled by the communist governments. But for some reason, they didn't get that the fax machine could be used as a printer. You get a fax, you just keep putting it through there, and now you've got a copy printer type of thing. And that's how they got all these little pieces of paper out to the population that said, hey, only 10% think that this is a good idea. You want to change your mind and help us? And it's the same thing with the internet. They underestimated what the internet would become. And now it's so big, they really can't control it at all. And what's happening is that people are talking to one another and said, hey, you realize that? And they, oh my God, no. Well, what do we do about it? Well, let's do this. And it's all happening, and it's happening at a very, very high rate, but it's still disorganized. And as soon as there's some kind of an organization, some kind of a super group that starts developing out of this, then you're going to have massive changes. Not because these people are going to go out and be in the streets like the Occupy movement, but because they made a change in their mind. They're changing reality in their mind. It's a war game of the mind, of mental agility, you know? I believe that Shungite is a gift from the Mother Earth Gaia, and that shungite can hijack the entire electromagnetic / Wi-Fi system that has been designed to control us, to destroy us. Because when these things are up and running, people cannot think. And if you cannot think, you cannot see the truth. If you can't see the truth, you can't bring down the matrix. So Gaia says, here, take shungite and put it on the electric system itself. It will hijack it. So not only is it not damaging, it is enlightening. It's awakening. It's giving you the frequency of Mother Earth herself. So there are masterful solutions that are out there, but we have to be willing to say, no, my reality is that there is a God so powerful it can hijack the very system that the bad guys are trying to use to control us. And that once it's hijacked, everybody is going to come to an awakened point. And once they're in an awakened point, then the future is ours to create, because the future cannot be predicted. It can only be created. And we have to take over the reins of creation. And that's going to come from one group after another coming together until there's this explosive supergroup that realizes all of these groups are thinking the same way. So Wolf Spirit has a very powerful position in that evolution if we want to do it. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of belief in ourselves. But I think we're off to a good run.
You know, Nancy, that's a very good point. One of the things is the multidimensional aspect of it. And the words that were coming to me just now were dreamwalkers. Because dreams, you know, well, all right, so my opinion is that we live life over and over again, but in denser and denser layers, so that one day we may be dreaming about something, and then a few months, years later, that dream plays out into our reality, a bit like, dropping a drop of ink into a glass of water, and it'll eventually spread through, but it follows this very specific path at the beginning. That our reality is created in our dreams, but that we are not in control of our dreams until we take control of our dreams, until we take control of our will and our intent. And one of the things that is the problem is that the collective thinking has been thrown in all directions, so it's not focused. But there is a general discontent. And I think that when we are able to focus that's exactly what you're talking about, or the process of what you're talking about is the focusing of that general intent. And as soon as it's like, if everybody's looking around and somebody's throwing bombs that explode around the outside of the group, and everybody's looking outside of the group, and then somebody turns around and says, hang on a second, look at the guy in the middle, he's the one who's throwing the bomb. And everybody turns around and everybody starts looking outside, and they know what to deal with now. And I think that's really what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a pestilence that is coming from inside of us, not just inside of our own selves, but inside of our societies and everything like that, that needs to be looked at. We need to look at the heart of this.
Yes, we have to look at each individual's part. And each individual has to realize that they are very powerful beings, that their very thoughts manipulate reality. Now, you can sit there and you can get in front of the television and you can see all this aggression and violence, and you can play that through your mind, and you're focusing that on your reality. That's what your reality is going to become. Or you can go on the internet and you can talk to people about changing reality, and then that becomes your reality. You can change reality. I think that what they're really doing to us is keeping us from having any kind of imagination, of playing out dream sequences, of saying, you know, why not? Why can't we create this stuff? Why can't shungite be a gift from Gaia? Why can't shungite be the answer for purifying the water, for taking hijacking over their deadly thing? Why can't it? Because you people think it's not real? I'm telling you, in my reality, it's real. And if you buy into my reality, we can change reality. You want to sit there and say, well, Iraq can't do this. I can tell you that there's a science behind it. Now, was the science there before the Shungite or after the Shungite became so prominent? I don't know. But I know there's a science behind it. I mean, somebody posted something on the Shungite store group, and I started looking at it, and it's exactly the energy picture that I see every time I deal with Shungite. Because of the molecular structure, the geometric form of the molecule that makes Shungite so special. Now, all of this, from some people's standpoint, is bullshit. From my standpoint, it's the only thing that makes any sense because I am a scientist. I look at it as a scientific situation, but then I throw it out there and then I see what it's doing to people's lives. And what happens is that somebody says, you know, I'm feeling a lot better. I wonder if it was the Shungite. And they say to somebody next to them, you know, I think the Shungite's making me feel better. And that person says, oh, that's bullshit. That can't be true. So now doubt sets in. So now this person backs off from it. But no, after a little bit more, they're going, no, I think it's the Shungite. So instead of trying to talk to the person next to them, we just call them a BS expert, they go and they find us. They find people that believe in Shungite. And that's what happens, is that the ability to have open forums within the internet, the Facebook, people are drawn to those places where their energy is going to be enhanced. And you know that, but it's the imagination. You have to be able to break out of the matrix that says no, it isn't, and say yes, it can be, and then make it so. Reality is what you think it is, and if you put enough focus in it, if enough groups come together with a focus in it, boom, it's a done deal. So you know, don't tell me that I'm crazy because I believe in Shungite. Say she's talking about a solution. A solution to everything that is simple. And maybe I should give it a little bit more credence. Maybe I should look there. And when you look there and your energy comes in just because you're looking, you empower it even more. Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that, but it was kind of...
She went quantum on us. Because it's all about quantum reality, cosmic reality, you know. I mean, people use the word cosmic as if it's like kind of, oh, he's a bit cosmic, isn't he? I used to be described as a bit cosmic myself. That, you know, it's a bit flaky, you know, like not quite grounded and stuff like that. Oh, we got a call. Excellent. Really what you're talking about when you're talking about cosmic is that you're talking about things that are working on the quantum level, that enormously small and enormously huge ends of the spectrum. Is that right?
It's really based on geometry, because in the universal, if you look at the whole universe, it's all based on geometry, geometric relationships of everything. And at the quantum level, it's also based on geometry. But at the quantum level, it's the one geometric form that takes on the importance versus the relationship of the geometric structure of the universe. So when the sun got bigger, and the sun did get bigger, we, as the Earth, we got bigger but moved away from the sun at the same time in order to keep the same geometric relationship. At the quantum level, when you're talking about a fullerene or a buckyball, which looks like a soccer ball or two geodesic domes on top of each other, you are talking about a quantum universe that by its very geometric structure, and this is the science I was looking at last night, by the symmetry of the structure itself, you have a universe inside of that at the quantum level that is very much based on fluidity and torsion fields. So there's a tremendous amount of activity with inside the molecule. And that is the magic. It's not that magic is manipulation of energy. And if you think in terms of an energy universe, you will understand why magic happens, why Shungite has so many magical things associated with it. And if you understand that magic is only energy in relationship to itself, and that you are determining those relationships by what you are thinking, and by what you are feeling emotionally, that every single human being has this capability, but it's not going to do you any good if you don't use it. And that's the key, is that's what they don't want you to know, that you are not only in charge of your reality, but you are responsible for your reality. And if you want to sit in front of the television set, then you have shirked your reality, the requirement to control your own reality, and you're just putting energy into somebody else's reality. Turn the damn thing off. Come over and start understanding about creation of reality. Focus on the things that really matter, the things that you want to see happen. Spend the time to admire a butterfly. Spend the time to look at a tree and talk to a tree. That you can't limit yourself once you get into the sphere of energy manipulation, because everything is energy. Quantum physics tells us this. But they don't want you to know what the quantum physicist knows, which is any time that they enter into an experiment at the quantum level, their very thoughts will skew the experiment. It's one of the primary pillars of understanding quantum physics, and yet they don't want you, the average person, to understand that. That every single thing that happens, happens because somebody is consciously thinking.
Ta-da! So, consciously remain tuned in to Revolution Radio Studio B. Likewise, area code 910 will come to you. Very soon, the little guitar tune will start playing. See? See you on the other side of the hour. In just a very few quantum particles as they zimp by.
I mean, you know, they say moderation in everything, including moderation. So, okay.
Anyway, so we're back on the air in Wolfsburg. We're just going to join the studio and come back to Denley, 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 Denley. Ah, what happened? What happened? Come on, call. Call. Ah. You might have to call us back in. I might have to restart.
Okay, just
call.
Do me a favor. I just need to hear more about
yeah,
it, maybe
we'll
a website,
talk about it
et cetera.
Until, yeah, okay. Yes, you're listening to Revolution Radio, and this is Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio, a 100% listener-supported station. Do click the donate buttons on the support page, and if you like the archives, you can subscribe to archives here and on Wall Street Radio. It's very cheap, and it gives you access. And we're going to be doing a lot. There's going to be a lot more news on the Wall Street site, and it's going to be. Yeah, it's going to be pretty fabulous, I have to say. Pretty fabulous. Now, we did have a caller just in sort of before the break and in the break, and her name was Dawn. Maybe, actually, let's see if I can bring her back in. Let's surprise her and ring her back. This will be like one of these prank callers. Hello, this is Saddam. We have your children. No, that's it. Not funny. Anyway. So we'll see if we can get Dawn back, and then we can get her back on the air and answer her question.
Hello.
Hello, this is me.
Oh.
I'm back. So could you turn off your speaker, turn off the radio player, just click the square.
I just did.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Thank you, my dear. Okay, well, Dawn, welcome back. Sorry, I had to. I couldn't connect back to the station, so I had to reset the call, and that threw you off. So... we've been talking for the last few minutes, certainly in the last segment of the show, about a material. You have questions, madam?
Yes, first of all, I need it the correct spelling and perhaps a website, because I wanted to Google it, find out more, because it sounds like it's absolutely fascinating. And I love the line of thought whereby you were talking about the electromagnetic smog, et cetera, being... You know, interfering with kind of like our internal dialogue and our ability to like manifest our dreams. People need to talk more about that. Most people don't even recognize that. But it's wonderful to know you've got something out there that can help counter it.
Right. Okay. Well, let's get the Madame Shungite. Nancy, tell this is Dawn from North Carolina. I hope you're back on the call still. This is Dawn from North Carolina, and she wants to know, first of all, well, I'm the spelling bee here, S-H-U-N-G-I-T-E, and it's from the river Shunga in Karelia in Russia. And there's only one place this stuff occurs in the world, and it's that. And so Nancy is able to... actually, Nancy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, excellent. So, do you want to field this question and fill Dawn and the listeners in on this?
Okay, first off, Dawn, are you just hearing about it right now, or have you heard about it before?
I had not heard about Shungite before, no.
Okay. Shungite is there's a 1,000-kilometer square area in Russia, which is just east of Finland. And it used to be part of Finland, but after World War II, it was taken over by the Soviets and then became part of the Russian Federation. And the interesting thing about Shungite is that it had been sitting there for a very long time with it being used in construction material because it's black and it has a tremendous hardness. It's very similar to coal. You would think it was coal the way it is chemically constructed with so many carbon atoms. But it has a molecule in it that should not exist on the face of Earth. Now, what happened is that in the 80s, a couple of scientists got together and they started to analyze what kind of carbon molecule would be created naturally within the vacuum of space. And they came up with this thing that is called carbon-60, and it's called a fullerene or a buckyball because of Buckminster Fuller. And basically, it's two geodesic domes on top of each other. So it looks like a soccer ball. The easiest image you can have is of a soccer ball. It's a huge, huge molecule to the degree that it actually can, they can put other molecules in it. They're looking at it for nanotechnology. They can put gases in it. It's like a universe into itself. It's its own little package, and it's magical in many ways. It does not conform to what natural molecules on Earth conform to. So it was first theoretically created, and then they were able to create it in a lab and isolate it. Then they said, is there any place on Earth where this naturally occurs? And they found the Shungite deposit. Now, there are other fullerene structures that are found, like in a meteorite hole that in Canada, and in two gold mines, one in Russia and one in Canada. And there's also in Colorado a area that's got fullerenes in it, but that was caused because of a lightning strike, and it caused the rock that it hit to do a weird kind of, you know, melting thing that created fullerenes. But these things will disappear over time. But for some reason, Shungite, and it's the first magical thing about Shungite is that it maintains the fullerene. So what it does is that the Shunga River and the lake, the big lake that's in the same area, they are continually pure. There's no microorganisms, no bacteria, nothing's in them. They're absolutely pristine. And they just put pipes in them and they suck it out, and that's how they get their water from this area. So it's a known factor that Shungite was probably purifying these lakes. But with the advent of this new molecular thing that caught the scientists, and the Nobel Prize was given to these guys for doing it, they all got differently. So within a few decades, the entire water systems of the Russian, the Soviet Union originally, but now the Russian Federations, they're all going to Shungite-based water purifications, because the stuff that that charcoal actually does, Shungite does 35% better. That's the beginning of it. Then they also found that people could be healed by the waters of Shungite. And Peter the Great, a couple hundred years ago, started up a spa that was for his military troops. And they would go there and they would soak in the waters of the Shungite, and they would heal much quicker. And he also required all of his soldiers to carry Shungite with them to purify water. Well, that particular spa is still ongoing. In fact, one of my vendors works very closely with them. It's still an ongoing project. Now, since then, they've discovered that, and this is where it got very tricky for us to understand exactly what was happening, because in the whole world, the only people that did not know about shungite was America, the United States. Everybody else has been playing with it. They understand it. You know, it's a miracle thing. The scientists who have been studying it the longest are talking about it in terms of it being the 21st century medicine because of all of the attributes that it has. But these are Russians. These are people who understand energy, who understand that energy can be healing. They know more about the energy internet system at the DNA level than all of the Western scientists. They are without doubt the best. So when they start talking like things like this, they're talking energy. Now, the problem was that when I started first reading about shungite from Western literature, they kept talking about shungite blocking or absorbing electromagnetic radiation, Wi-Fi radiation, nuclear radiation, and even radon and other energies that come out of the Earth itself. Teutonic stress related radiation. All of this could be, you know, somehow stopped by shungite.
Geopathic stress.
Yes, thank you very much. And what happened was that I did not believe that because I was trained as an electromagnetic officer, electromagnetic warfare officer when I was in the Army. And I had been studying gems and energies for decades. So I did not see any of this in shungite. I saw it as an energy field. And that it was the energies that was purifying the water. That it was energies that was attenuating or modulating the Wi-Fi electromagnetic systems to change it. Now, finally, I found somebody that was taking the Russian technical information and actually translated it correctly. They said the word attenuate. And attenuate takes something and makes it better. Makes it something that is dangerous and deadly can be attenuated to make it not deadly or any of that.
Well, yeah, because in a way it's like you can turn, it's like being able to turn something down. Like, you know, somebody might be shouting at you, and if you put earplugs in, it attenuates their sound. That's what attenuate means in audio terms, anyway.
Well, within science or bacteriology kind of concepts, when you take a virus and you attenuate it, you've made it from deadly to non-harmful. That's a technical term within that, you know, subject area. But within radiation, attenuate means that you take something harmful and you make it not harmful. But shungite takes it even further, and it actually makes it healing because the energy that it's putting out is the same energy that the Earth puts out by itself. It's called the Schumann resonance, and it's 7.83 hertz is the average. But it puts out this energy that is what is healing. It's life giving. That's what we were born to be in. And over the years, with all the electromagnetic crap that's out there, you now have electronic fog, and that's what's attacking us at an energetic level. So that our whole energy bodies that want to be healthy are not healthy because we keep confronting all of this other energy that wants to tear us apart. So what we have is, and you can go to cosmicreality.net. That's cosmicreality.net. And you'll find the shungite store there. There's a blog that tells you all sorts of things about shungite. There's another blog where it has testimonies from customers of ours that have already been playing with it and have had some amazing experiences with it. It's something that you should experience, and you don't have to get it through our store. You can, you can get it in the United States. It's just that we wanted to get the stuff that was raw, that had not been messed with, that was as pure as could be. And that's why it took us some jumping around to make sure that we could, A, get to the right part of the mine. Every vendor goes to a different part of the mine and or the field, and they go to different mines. And so when you get a vendor, you get a specific type of where the shungite's coming from. And in some cases, we like to make these pendants. In some cases, they were too small for pendants. In some cases, they were too big. So we've had to kind of like test out different vendors to find out what kind of shungite we can get. And even within the same vendor, you can get different stuff. So it's not the easiest stuff to get, but you can get it online. You can go to eBay. You can go to just do an internet search, and you will find it, and plus our store. But we try to maintain a sacred attitude when we work with the shungite, because to me it's
I'd like to ask you a question about Russia, though, and the fact that Russia seems to be coming into prominence now. And, you know, Casey said that from Russia will come the hope of the world. And I'm just wondering if all of this is related, if there's some synchronicity here, if there's some meaning to it beyond just, you know.
Oh, you just tickled something there, eh?
Absolutely. I've been, one of the things when I was in college, I ended up becoming a Soviet Union expert. History, culture, society, all this stuff. And then I went in the army and I became a Soviet military expert. I mean, my entire existence has been revolving around Russia, and then ends up the shungites in the middle of Russia. You know, it's like, whoa. I don't believe in coincidences. That's just thought and action. Now, why I get so tickled is that I understand that the more energy that you put into something, the more energetic that thing becomes. So the more that people are focused on shungite being a magical mineral, the more powerful it becomes. Now, for the last, at least 40 years, the entire water system of the Soviet cities and farms and everything else has been going into shungite. So you got all this water that's coming out of shungite, and we know that shungite energizes water. We know that if you take a nugget and you throw it in a glass of water and you drink that, you're going to feel, the first thing people will say is, I can feel my body. And what they're feeling is their energy body. That's what they're feeling, because it just, boom, ramps it up. So now all these people in Russia are drinking shungite water, energized water. And over here in the United States, a group of people living in Florida have gotten together and decided this is Gaia's gift, and it's the most powerful tool that we have. And so we're putting a lot of energy into that concept. So the shungite over there coming, you know, where the water's coming out of, it's getting energized. And they're going to, I mean, yes, the hope of the world is in Russia, because they're already got shungite completely through their entire water system. And if I'm right, and this is the answer to so many of our problems, is to acknowledging Gaia, acknowledging that she's more powerful than human beings can ever imagine, and she has given us a gift that can change everything. And it's been, the people in Russia have been drinking this water for a while, and now we're really giving it an ass-kicking boost. And those people are going to go through an awakening. They're going to go through an ascending of consciousness. It's the only thing that can happen. So it does not surprise me that Casey said it. Who said it? Did you say Casey?
Edgar Casey.
Yeah, Casey, yes. Because, I mean, it just, and that's another weird thing, in that I have been a student of Casey's since I was a kid. I started reading books about him when I was a kid. So, the people that are really working with it, and the reason that we call it the Cosmic Reality Shungite Store, is that because at the end of Cosmic Reality, I came through scientific reasoning to the conclusion that there is an Earth Mother, and that her name is Gaia, and that she has the ability to change everything if we simply give her the power to do so. And so I actually committed myself to being subservient to Gaia, the Earth Mother. And within 6 months, I've got shungite in my hands. And I can see the power of shungite. I can see the connection to Gaia. I can see this whole amazing story just unfolding in front of me. And the people that are working with me see the same story. If I had not written Cosmic Reality to come to the conclusion that Gaia is the one being that we need to be. I'm not saying there's not a source God. There is probably a source God. It's not any of my business. My business is right here in Earth. And I can see that there's a creator God. You cannot have you cannot have manifestation or creation without consciousness. That consciousness is Gaia. So when getting to that point, by writing the book, Cosmic Reality, then Gaia was given by me the permission to give me the secret. And my entire life had been designed by understanding energy, even on a battlefield, to understand how a piece of, you know, mineral could possibly hold the secrets for a new and revolutionary kind of reality. And one of the funniest stories I've heard about the Shungite situation was one of my peoples that I work with was talking to somebody who was from Russia. And she's saying, Shungite. And the girl's saying, it's dirt. In Russia, it's dirt. Why are you trying to force me into understanding something that's dirt? I don't understand this. And so finally, after a bit, Stephanie said to her, well, let me put it to you this way. When you were in Russia, what did you look like? Because Stephanie was looking at a woman that was very overweight and in ill health. And so the woman says to her, well, I was so thin and I had so much energy and I was healthy. And so Stephanie says, and that's where the Shungite is. You know, and the woman looked at her with a different look in her face and she said, all right, tell me some more about this dirt. You know, but it's all in your perspective, whether it's dirt or it's something magical. So any other questions you have, Dawn?
Well, you know, I know tourmaline is a black stone it really kind of takes away negativity. It's not a fullerene kind of construction, but I'm wondering if there's any kind of resonance between that kind of stone, say, and the Shungite.
All of them have they're all pieces of Mother Earth. Okay. I believe that Shungite, because of the uniqueness of this particular material, understand that it's only found in this one place, and that they have estimated that it's probably at least 2 billion years old, which means that it cannot have been created by the normal creation of vegetation breaking down until it becomes this oil substance that gets under pressure and becomes coal-like.
But oil is not a fossil fuel. I hope you know that. It's abiotic, but that's another discussion.
let's not get into that. We're talking about they cannot explain why Shungite exists. It doesn't conform to any geology rationale that would create this particular stuff, because if it's 2 billion years old, then the planet is still in a molten state. It does not have the fundamentals to build anything. But yet you've got this stuff that seems to be sitting on the top of the Earth that's just been sitting there for 2 billion years. Well, what I believe is that within the fullerene molecule itself was the seed of life. And that wherever it came from, wherever the Shungite came from, it carried the seeds of life. And I believe that same, let's say, energetic quality of the fullerene still exists, only this time the seed of life is actually for a new earth, a new reality, one that's based on peace and beauty. And that it's still fundamentally the same thing, that inside these buckyballs, inside these amazing little, well, they're not little, they're big molecules, is energy that can be manipulated to create reality at a greater rate than ever before.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
You know, in the Muslim faith, they've got that Kaaba, that black cube, and I'm wondering if there's any relationship to that. And I'm also thinking about 2001 and the monolith. I mean, I'm just wondering if there's any resonance between these particular things.
It could be. I just don't know for a fact one way or the other.
But you know what I'm thinking?
I get you.
See where I'm going?
Yeah, I get you with that.
But listen, thank you so much. I've enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you coming on. And go to cosmicreality.net and you'll find the Shungite blog, and it'll give you a lot of information.
Okay.
You can go other places, but we've tried to digest what they say in other places and give you what we think is the best information.
Listen, thank you for this. This is just so great. And, you know, get this out to as many people as you can.
Well, we're trying. I mean, Gaia's mission to me is get Shungite to the masses, and I'm doing my darndest.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dawn.
Blessings.
Thank you very much. Good night, Dawn. And there we go. Oh, no. Hey, idiot. Quick, where's it gone? It's the call. I've lost the call. Where did it? There we go. So we take that one out. Remove. And call group back. Yeah. Yeah, so of course I pulled myself and everybody else off the call. That was very good. But, as we are, Nancy.
Yes.
What great questions. And the whole... Okay, so the black stones, the energy of black stones, the energy of... See, the way I see... When I look at a shungite... when I imagine a shungite molecule, I don't imagine, like, something that is fixed. I see... It's like... they're all jiggling about. And there are waves that are crossing the surface of the ball as each atom... of the 60 atoms that form the molecule, sends out ripples to all the others. And it's kind of jiggling around all the time. It's, you know, the atoms are alive and talking to each other. And that's an entire universe. You could imagine that we are like that. We have a sphere around us that has so many facets. Sometimes you hear about people who are talking about using that as a model for your quantum reality. And it could be. Imagine yourself as the center point of a shungite molecule. What do you think of that?
Well, it's probably very true because, the basic geometry of that particular shape is, probably they've been talking about it a while in the scientific world, but I didn't fall into it. But it's just intriguing, and I can't talk about it at any length because I'm just starting to digest and understand it. But it seems to be a very critical geometric structure for everything else. So it is some kind of a building box at the geometric level, at the quantum level. So if that's true at the quantum level, then yeah, it's very conceivable that I often think of ourselves as being inside a bubble, but maybe that bubble is the shape of a buckyball.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. There are many techniques that, you know, address your soul. And you imagine yourself sitting inside a place that's got screens all over it, like some of these films. What's that? Eagle Eye. Yeah, imagine a huge dome that's got screens all over it. And you can zoom in to any part of your dome. And deal with whatever issues, because that's probably what it's like from the inside of your head to the outside.
Well, the other thing is that black. Now, one day somebody said to me, "What's the color of God?" And I hesitated, and then I said, "Black." And they said, "Why would you say black?" And I said, "Because it's got all the colors in it." You know, why would you have a god of any other color if you take not, you know, all the colors have to be there and that's black. So, yes, I think that all of the black stones have a real specialness to them. One of the stones I met recently is a black piece of moldavite. And that is such an incredibly high intensity energy. It's just amazing. But yeah, there's some connection between all those black.
Hey, what if every planet had a kind of slug thrown at it? Just like a kind of, if you're a forester, planting trees is really a matter of kind of sticking a stick in, or equivalent, and sticking the tree in, and stepping on it, and then moving along to the next tree. And that's how foresters work. So imagine if you're seeding planets, you just have a big old truck, the kind of galactic equivalent of a seed drill tractor, and go from planet to planet, and on goes the seed. And maybe that's what the shungite deposit is.
Well, I agree with that, except for one thing. I think that the consciousness that was sent here as a molten ball, just spinning around, got tired of spinning around and decided that it wanted to go further. and that it wasn't some, because everybody wants to look exterior or outside of ourselves, and I'm saying, look, I think we should look inside. So you've got this consciousness that's a molten ball of, that it started out as dust and just started swirling around and created this molten ball of stuff. I think at that point, that consciousness took a jump in consciousness and said, you know, we could do better, but we need something to work with. And that instead of somebody going along and, like, you know, Johnny Appleseed and planting orchards, that this was a call by Gaia to the source god or the universe and saying, come on, give me some of that stuff that makes life. Let's get this down here. And boom, it's smack dab in the middle of Russia, which we know today is Russia, and it has all of the makings of the seed of life. That's kind of the way, I mean, I don't have any real back, be able to tell you details of why I think that's just the imaging that I get every time I think about that field.
It's very interesting, though. The seed of life is a sphere that's, you know, like a mitosis. Is it mitosis? Meiosis? I'm going to remember this. Where a seed, a cell splits into two. Like the very first, you know, just what happens after fertilization. And it's very analogous to that, Shungite. Because probably one Shungite atom will help knit a second Shungite atom, fullerene atom. It's like a kind of, actually, I don't know if ever you've played with these, they're little magnetic spheres, and you can't buy them anymore because kids swallow them and you have to snip their guts out. Anyway, they're tiny little ball bearings, 5 millimeter, that are magnetized, and you can arrange them. You can make them into a sheet, or you can make them into a cube, or all of that, and it displays properties like atoms do. So you can make crystalline structures and things like that.
And we have noticed that it's better to have two Shungite nuggets than one. And my interpretation is that the field of the Shungite nugget, and it seems like every nugget has a slightly different feel to it, but the fields will start resonating against each other, and they actually are almost like they get into a synchronistic kind of vibration that allows them to recharge each other. So if you've got two nuggets in a glass of water, you're never going to lose your charge. If you've got one, I don't know, some people say they lose the charge. I think they get used to it. But we have noticed that there's more energy happening when you got more than one nugget.
Awesome. That's very interesting. How can I describe what I've got sitting in front of me? Let me see. So I'll pass. Right, okay. I got a stainless steel bowl, little hemispherical bowl. It's like a kind of pudding bowl. Yeah, it's like a sweet bowl. Sitting in that is a copper wire that is wound into a spiral, the center of which is holding a crystal quite tightly. The spiral goes up about, it's about the same diameter as the bowl, I suppose. And then at the top of that, I placed a Shungite pyramid. And on top of that, I placed a small square magnet. And it's really interesting to watch this thing vibrate. Because, as you were saying, So basically, if you imagine, I've got a kind of spring with a piece of Shungite at the end of it. So it's very sensitive to vibrations. And as I bring another piece clear, it does appear to be, there's a pull. It seems to kind of change the way it moves very, very slightly. So that's an interesting thing you're saying.
Well, whenever you take, that's one of the reasons that we make the pendants we do. Whenever you take a spiral and you put it around a piece of Shungite, the effect of the copper spiral, our wires are enameled with the different colors, but the core is always copper. And when you have that kind of a coil happening, and it goes back to the golden mean, but you have that kind of a coral happening situation, then all of a sudden you've got an intensification of the field within the shungite because of a torsion field that is created, a vortex thing that's created when you, anytime you get a spiral, like the spring thing you're talking about. So if you were to take the shungite pendant, and I mean the pyramid, and if it fit inside that, there would be a very intense expansion of the field of the pyramid, but it would have to be inside that spring. Sitting on side a top of it's like it's doing, is not doing anything to the shungite. The energy that's coming down from the pyramid, because anytime you got a solid pyramid, you got an energetic pyramid. So the pyramid energy is feeding into that copper coil that you've got there, the spring. So inside there, you've got a very interesting kind of pyramid energy that's a shungite tinged pyramid energy, but it's not. It would be much more powerful if the pyramid was inside the spring, in my estimation.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the end pokes into the the spring takes it to about three quarters of the width of the pyramid. So it's not completely inside. It's stuck on the top of the pyramid, but upside down.
Yeah, you can change the spirals and you'll feel changes in the energy, but there is everything is connected. See, that's another thing that people miss is that in Western science they look at what is material, what they can see, what they can measure, what they can touch. In Russian and Soviet before them, what they're focusing on is the things that is in between all of this, and it's the ethers. There's stuff. I mean, for crying out loud, the West is looking at 10%, or they're telling us they're looking at 10%, and the other side of the world is looking at the 90% and saying all of the power is in the ethers. It's the relationship of geometry and the way that the geometric shaping changes the ethers that gives you certain power structures, if you will. In shungite, because every time you twist it or you turn it or you adjust it or you put it in with other ones, it all changes. It's like an organism that, depending on where you put the pieces, has a different thing happening to it. It's astounding mineral, to be honest with you, because most minerals, irregardless of the piece of the mineral, it basically has the same frequency. But shungite has an alternating frequency that, I mean, slightly different. It's all shungite, but it's slightly different. And it seems to be very dependent on other vibrations around it, including other shungite pieces around it. We took a piece of, well, the first one, I think, is about a pound of shungite. One brick of shungite. And I took a 20-foot coil of piping, quarter inch, and made a big pendant. And we could feel that field a mile away. So the bigger the shungite, the more intensification you make of that coil, it just keeps getting more and more powerful. It's like today I got a piece of shungite that, no exaggeration, I haven't put it on the scale yet, I just opened it up, but it has to weigh 5 pounds. And I'm going like, what? Why do I? Because I, you know, this stuff comes to me and I have to believe that Guy is in charge and she's giving me stuff that she wants me to use. So now I got this 5 pound brick of shungite that's semi in the shape of a pyramid, in that it's raw, but it's kind of structured that way, and I have no clue what that's going to be.
Do you know what I just see? Is do you know brake pipe? Well, you got the pipes that hydraulic brakes use to send the hydraulic fluid from the pedal to the brake. Yeah,
right.
It's a copper tubing that is very flexible. But when you buy it, it comes as a flat spiral.
because it's easy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Over here, it's sold as refrigeration unit copper. In other words, it you would use it in a refrigerator or an AC. It's a quarter-inch copper.
Right. So I see this piece sitting in the middle of a spiral like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And the thing of it is that when I'm making these things, I'm actually working with the piece. As I'm spiraling it, the piece is there. You know, as I'm creating the spiral, so that I can watch the energy. Because again, the piece itself, all the pieces are different geometric designs, so they're going to react differently depending on how you're spiraling it. And at one point, my arm, it was like somebody hit my elbow. I was starting. You have to start both ends, and you kind of come in and make this cage-like spiraling thing. And I was working at the second end, and I was about to bend the end, when it was like somebody hit my elbow, and it resulted in the look of an eye versus a circle. And I looked at this thing, and I hear the word Eye of Horus, and I went, whoa. And then I realized that depending on whether the end is a circle or the end is an Eye of Horus figure, the energy going in and out of the spiral will be adjusted. So it's fascinating what a little change in the spiraling can accomplish.
Right, yeah, because, I mean, if you were thinking about that in terms of tones, you'd be adding harmonics.
That's exactly what it is.
Ta-da.
So,
frequencies, tones, circles and spirals, wheels within wheels. And really, you know, the whole politics, if you think about politics and all those distractions, just the old distraction. Stop watching the news. Stop listening to the radio. It's you know, all this programming, it comes over the radio. Just sit with a piece of shungite and it will tell you stuff that you want to know. Really. I know that sounds a bit weird. Yeah, maybe it's...
But that's the thing, is that we can be as weird as we want to be because we're building our own reality. And people have got to get behind this. If they get behind it, and I'm not saying you got to get behind it out of fear. I'm saying you got to get behind it because it's really exciting. I mean, you know, to realize that you are attempting and you are openly telling people over the internet that there's a group of us that want to change reality, and we want to do it by, in our own brains. We're going to imagine a new reality, and we're just going to get enough people to buy into our new reality that it's going to happen. And if it does happen, and I think it is happening, and you are aware of it, and you are part of that movement, that is exciting. That's what everything is about. That's why we're here, to test our muscles, to see what we can do in reality creation. And just because we've been a little lazy or whatever for, you know, a few thousand years, and we let somebody else dictate our reality, it doesn't mean that we can't wake up and then say, hey, you know, that looks like fun. I think I'll take over from now on, guys. You can go take a break. I'm gonna try my hand at reality creating. We can do this. This is what we were here. That's what we're here to do. That's my absolute belief system, that we are here to create a new reality.
And indeed, I've just popped on the screen Yorick and Nikolai, apparently. He's a strange little one. he's not that human, the other one. not from this angle, anyway. We were talking about Max a little while ago, about Max being being placed on the Earth. Do you have a contact? Do you want to get them on the show? The carrier of Max.
I only met her that one time. I don't even know if she's alive now. That was way back in the 80s, mid 80s.
Well, somebody has him, or he has somebody.
That's true. I can look into it and see who might have Max.
Actually, Max, we know, you know, get in touch. Okay, thanks, right.
Yeah, Dave, do you know where Max is?
There you go.
Yes, we did this show last night with Kimmery and the crystal skill, the crystal skull that she carries, who's called Yorick, and you were talking about Max, and there's this other one who's called Nikolai, and we are going to have live crystal skull shows, and you can ask them questions, you can kind of interview them, and they come out with some very interesting stuff. Very powerful and very, very profound. Sometimes a little humorous as well.
It should be fun. I'm excited about it, you know. But that's what we got to do, is just bring in exciting, you know, off-the-wall kind of things and just have fun.
So, now, so I've been, you know, I know you don't like it, but I bought some pieces of cut shungite, and as I said, I have a little Cheops pyramid. It's 1 inch on a side, but it just has a lovely feel to it. It's one of these things that you can't stop playing. Well, I can't stop playing with when I'm talking about it. What they like to be is kind of tumbled in your hands. Or this is what this one's wanting, is that it likes being turned over and over, and probably to experience the different flows of the the standing waves as you rotate it through it. Because of its own standing waves, it will feel the friction between its standing wave and the standing waves of our realities. So that would be a frisson.
I actually to the point where I've noticed that the shungite that was machined is now getting his power back. At first, when I was handling it, it was like very, very dead. The power was very, very low. But recently, pieces that I've had around here, either they're getting recharged from, you know, around me, or the shungite field is getting so strong it's just recharging everything, which is what my understanding is that even a small piece of shungite is linked to the main field. Because remember, there's only that one. And that if you've got one piece in a quantum, you've got a quantum entanglement with that field. And as people are working with the pieces that they have, they're actually feeding energy back into that field that then therefore is getting stronger too, and therefore even affecting the ones, like I say. So before, when I would say that I only like to deal with the raw ones, I will say now that I am seeing that even the tumbled pieces, I've got some sweet tumbled pieces here, that now have some really nice energy. And I suspect that would be true for even the pyramids or the figurines now. So,
I mean, it may be that we can work complementary, in that I can sell some of the cut and polished pieces and you can work with the raw ones, and, you know, that we have different things to offer everybody. I've just got this pyramid, and I also got a lovely triangle pendant, which I was just gonna, you know, I was gonna take a photograph of it and put it on the web and see if anybody wanted to buy it. And of course, the day I get it, Nikki walks in. She says, "Oh, you got me a pendant. Oh, it's lovely. It's beautiful. Thank you, darling." You know, and it's like, oh. Well, I can't really sell that one now, can I? So she's been inseparable with this thing since that was like 2 weeks ago. So
meant to be.
It's but it's, you know, it helps her stay happy.
Well, that's another one thing we hear, is that people say that they feel happy. I'll have them say, "I don't know what it's doing, but all I know is I." And the reason is that the shungite, when it's vibrating, is actually causing your pineal gland to start vibrating with it. There's these called microcalcite crystals that are inside there that are piezoelectric, in that if you hit them with energy, they are going to vibrate and they're going to give off their own energy. But because of all the fluorite they have over here in the United States, most people's calcite is not vibrating at all. But with shungite, it has no option. It just starts to vibrate. And once it does, it starts to make a connection to your higher self, your soul. I don't know what you want to call it, but something that is you, but in a better space. And once you get that connection, once you feel connected, then you feel safe. And once you feel safe, you feel happy. So that's what I see the number one thing that shungite's doing, is it's making people get connected and therefore feeling connected and therefore feeling happy.
Very good. Because indeed, we're talking about the Buckminster fullerene molecule, which is a community of atoms. And I really want to stress that. It's that this is like something that we're not taught in physics or in chemistry or in even biology, that atoms have their consciousness. And we evolve from being an atom to being a bacteria to being a person to being whatever. It's going back to source along whatever path it is. I don't know exactly what it is, but it becomes more and more energetic, less corporeal. And so we're all on a path. And I think shungite is like the gateposts that help you to recognize. I don't know, it's like a pattern, it's like a blueprint, like a... All right, so here we are. The relation, if you think of a geodesic dome, the first thing you see is triangles. It's all about the lattice work of the triangle. And the triangle has some great properties in that it's the first two-dimensional object. But that it can form a three-dimensional object. And scientists are currently working with this thing called graphene, which is a similar idea, but it's just a long flat sheet of the stuff. But the molecules are arranged differently because they don't arrange in the same way as the triangular ones. So anyway, the triangular ones all form a lattice network that that joins itself together and has, therefore, it then becomes able to resonate. You know, it can sing like any sphere. It can, if you tap it, you know, that's the little hemisymph, that's the bowl, you know, and round things ring like bells. So it has all the resonance that you can basically tune it. You can make it do different things. Has anyone seen a hung drum? It's a hemisphere. And you tap it in different places, and it's got different notes as you tap it around. Sounds a bit like a kind of miniature steel drum, like in Jamaica. Anyway, what I'm saying is that these are conscious little elements, microscopic lives that gather together in communities, and then they can create their own reality and direct their own reality, because they then have a power to move and propel themselves through the universe. Anyway, some final thoughts, Nancy, before we finish tonight.
Well, I hope we got some 5-minute audio for Luz. And I thank you so much. I mean, I always enjoy just hanging out and chatting with you. And you know, we're doing good work, and you're doing extremely good work, and I'm very proud to know you and honored, and I hope that the people out there will, take the ride with us, and
Excellent. Hey, I just got a message from Tony Pashek, and he bought some of your shungite, and since I've gotten from shungite, from Nancy, a thing I've noticed among many changes is I'm reorganizing my life spiritually and materially. Cleaning stuff up and getting rid of that which does not serve me anymore. And I have to say, that's exactly what I was doing and what we've been doing over the last couple of days. And I had a 3.5-pound bag of the stuff arrive last week. So
that is Shunga does it. It will get rid of anything that is holding you back and clean up everything. And that includes people, but don't worry about it because they're just being put out of your way right now. It's not like you cease and desist. No, they're just getting out of your way. And when you get to a point where you're together, they will come back to learn from you. So you might have people exploding in front of you and you're going like, what's this about? You won't have an emotional reaction. You'll just know this person needs to be set aside for now because the most important person in your life is yourself. If you can't make yourself right, nothing's going to be right. And you are that important. Every thought you have is that important. God, whichever God that you subscribe to, has got, 7 billion people on the earth, and yet they needed you. And that's what you have to take with you, is that you are critical to a creation of a new reality. And I'm just so glad that I'm awake and on this ride. It's just the most interesting story in the, this is the best story ever told. And we're living it.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And he says you gave it to him. He didn't buy it from you. But if you wish to support Nancy in her endeavors and in her enterprise, she's making pendants and little mojo bags. I call them Bucky bags because it had a nice name to it. And there's all these things. CosmicReality.net. Nancy L. Hopkins, thank you very much. Shunga for the people. Good night, everybody.